Hello everyone, it's John Pryor here. Welcome to our weekly podcast. I'm pleased to be joined by George from our economics team and Chris from our trading desk, as we'll look to update you on the themes that we're seeing from our clients and the world of global markets and the economy. It's been another big week. I mean, further big moves, to be honest. A lot of that in the last few weeks has been filtered through euro dollar. But to many of our clients' delight, we're starting to see that in sterling dollar. Sterling is still somewhat being thrown around by the amount of volume that's being put through in euro dollar. But as I say, certainly this week, as we've climbed up towards that 133 mark, it looks like actually it's starting to gain some real momentum. I think in terms of the themes that clients are still wanting to hear about, it's still dominated really by the economic recovery from COVID. I think certainly this week around looking across the Atlantic to the Jackson Hole conference and understanding what a central bank's doing. And the other strange one is that Brexit still feels like it's on the periphery. It's hanging over markets, it's certainly hanging over sterling, but yet to actually without much impetus as this month's talks didn't really come through with anything of substance, and it looks like we're now waiting for September's to see what there is. I think all of that leads to clients still being relatively cautious. We've certainly seen a lot more action and activity heading into 2021, but from speaking to many clients, I think the dilemma that most clients have is how much to hedge because forecasts are still so difficult in such uncertain times, and obviously when to enter. For many of our exporters, they're in a very good place, and it appears that quite comfortable to see some further sterling weakness. But for importers, when from where sterling was down at 114 to now up at the heady heights of 132 and a half, 133, whilst it isn't quite as exciting as that in sterling euro, I think there's some big decisions to make, and a lot of the questions that we are fielding are all around: can this move be sustained? What will be driving markets into 2021? And what does the shape of the recovery look like? So, with no further ado, really pleased to introduce George. George, I'll hand it over to you. It'd be great to hear your update as to what's been going on in the markets and in the economy.
Okay, thanks, Jonathan. Yes, I think as you were saying, it's been a rather busy week for markets. I think the highlight really has been Jackson Hole, where we've had Federal Reserve Chair Jerome Powell announce the results of the Monetary Policy Strategy Review. And that's resulted in two significant changes to the FOMC's framework. So first of all, they've updated their price stability mandate. Instead of the previous 2% inflation target, the framework is now that the FOMC will seek to achieve inflation that averages 2% over time. And what is the implication of this? Well, effectively, the FOMC is going to allow inflation to run above 2% following periods of below 2% inflation. Really, the latter is what's been more prevalent in the years since the financial crisis. So in terms of policy, that really implies the Fed is likely to maintain accommodative policy both in terms of interest rates and QE for longer than it has done in the past. The other significant change that's made to the framework is its categorization of maximum employment. So that's now widened to focus on broad-based and inclusive goals. And the language that the Fed uses is that policy decisions will be informed by shortfalls of employment from its maximum level. That's a change from the previous practice, where they focused on deviations from its maximum level. And arguably, that's just another way, really, in which policy could be maintained at a accommodative level for longer. So overall, a landmark speech really from the chair yesterday. And it's not just for the US though, it's also for central banks around the world, because obviously the Federal Reserve tends to lead the way in tightening or loosening policy cycles. So, if the FOMC is further away from liftoff, it's likely that other central banks will be as well. Step back a bit and look at the more broader picture at the in terms of the pandemic. We're actually starting to see tentative evidence of a leveling off in the number of new cases, and that's positively, that appears to be fairly broad-based. So, for instance, if we look at the six countries with the highest infection rates, Only Peru and India are still on a rising trend. You know, if you look at the likes of the US and Brazil, daily cases now are seeing sustained declines in those countries. Of course, though, good reason to remain cautious, not least in mainland Europe. Cases are certainly back on the rise in a number of countries, and that could really mean that further restrictions are going to need to be imposed in an effort to limit the spread of the virus. On the other hand, however, if we look at the UK, so far appears to be coping fairly well. For the meantime, we've seen that the number of new infections stabilised in recent weeks, and that meant that the further easing restrictions was able to go ahead in England on the 15th of August. Now, that being said, yesterday we did see a sharp 1,522 rise in new cases. That's the highest since mid-June. Reserve judgment for now whether that's an outlier or the beginning of an upward trend, but certainly something to keep an eye on. But you know, if we look at the economy moving on, you know, we're seeing continued signs of recovery in the data. For instance, we saw retail sales figures last week that pointed to a further rise in discretionary spending in July. Also, if you look at the UK composite PMI, which I guess importantly does not include retailing, that saw a rise to 60.3 in August. That's the signals the sharpest improvement in private sector activity since October 2013. Really, though, it's important to recognize that a large chunk of this is due to the release of demand that's built up during the months of lockdown. So, really, the question is whether the recovery can be sustained when these kind of transitory factors pass, and particularly as kind of more headwinds come into play. So, one key one is rising unemployment because you've got the furlough scheme being gradually unwound and it'll eventually come to an end in October. But also, obviously, due to the risk of a severe second wave, which brings about a blanket tightening of restrictions across the UK. And it's certainly worth keeping an eye on the number of new cases over the next month because you've got children in England and Wales returning to school. And of course, we're seeing more employees return to workplaces following the summer break. And there certainly seems to be more of an impetus from the government now. There's going to be an advertising campaign to try and get people back into the office, as it were. Just to end on, though, the other thing to bear in mind is that negotiations between the UK and the EU, they're fast approaching really the supposed deadline of the 31st of October, and that's so it can be ratified before the end of this year. Now, unfortunately, still not been much progress to date. You know, the key sticking points continue to be on fishing rights and Brussels's demand for a level playing field. But it's evident that negotiators are feeling the pressure. I think, like you were saying, Jonathan, talks are really going to get underway in September. That's really the focus. Apparently, there's going to be emergency talks between the two sides next week in an effort to try and move things forward. But realistically, there's just not enough time now to have a fully fleshed out agreement. You know, the political declaration outlined this goal of having an ambitious trading relationship, and that's just, you know, it's just not realistic at this stage. So the fact that the UK government's adamant that it's still not going to extend the transition period, because obviously it would be rather politically difficult for them to do so, it obviously brings about the risk of a cliff edge. But at the end of this year, but you know, really, it's not in either side's interests for a complete breakdown in the trading relationship. And so, you know, we're expecting that, you know, the 11th hour, as it always is with how it has been in the past with Brexit talks, it will come at the last minute. There'll be a bare bones agreement, and that'll help smooth over any immediate disruption. And then this kind of more comprehensive FTA, which is the ultimate aim, that'll be agreed at a later date. So in terms of sterling, you know, we're expecting, you know, lately, as you've mentioned, we've had relatively lofty heights now above 130, and that's come quite a long way since July. But really, we're expecting possibly to start testing those levels again back in kind of July, maybe June, as that kind of pressure comes back on, as kind of talks go down to the wire. But really, you know, after that, presuming that we do get this bare bones agreement, we're looking for sterling to head up to 134 by the end of the year and then rally through 2021 to 140. But really, you know, a lot of uncertainty here, just stress that this is at the mercy of the pandemic. You know, if you get a sharp rise in cases globally or domestically, we're likely to see the pound weaken significantly, which is what we saw obviously during the peak of the initial outbreak back in March and April. So that's broadly it from the economics perspective anyway.
Thanks very much, George. Really interesting. And as you say, so much going on at the moment. Chris, over to you. It'd be really good to get your steer as to the flows and the sentiment that you're seeing on the trading desk. And I guess particularly, with Jackson Hole so topical, if you guys think that this dollar weakness could actually persist.
Yeah, so as you mentioned, the Jackson Hole was the big event we was all waiting for, and we did see some pretty sharp moves after Jerome Powell started speaking. What we initially saw was quite a sharp move up to around just ahead of 133. I think we hit a high of 132.84. As many kids, I mean, it was a dovish speech by him. There's no denying. You kind of can't get away from that. But what we did see a lot of positioning shifting. So we saw initial move up, breaking some minor resistance levels, and we saw a quick reversal, which caught the market by surprise. It felt like a lot of people that got long on the initial speech, when that first resistance came along, they got squeezed, and they got squeezed quite hard. And we suddenly found ourselves back at 130, 160 very, very quickly. I think looking back on it now, it was kind of the wrong move, and it was very clearly more positioning than actual anything else. So when on Friday, when we come in, we've seen ourselves back towards this 133 level. I think the market has kind of digested what was said yesterday, and there's a realization that rates are going to stay low for a long time. And also, the bar that's now been set for them to hike rates is very high. So I think there's kind of like the market's kind of accepting that, this low rate environment is going to be here to stay for quite a while. In terms of our levels, it does feel like we could have the potential to start a new range. So we have been kind of trading this 130, 133 range for quite some time, and we've hit a high of 133.20 today. But we're still kind of hovering around this 133 level. So I think if we see a bit more dollar weakness, we could maybe push into a more 133, 136 kind of range going forward. But as you mentioned, there's still a lot of things in the pipeline. These Brexit talks aren't going well. They're set to continue in September the 7th, I think it is. So we're obviously going to be looking at the headlines. I have noticed that Brexit headlines have taken a bit more of effect on the pound more recently. When we had that initial comments last week that the talks were going very poorly, we did see a big correction in the pound on that. So it does feel like these Brexit headlines will have more of a driving factor for the market in the months to come. We have also seen Bailey speaking at Jackson Hole today, and he was kind of saying that they do have tools to use. There was a slight mention of negative rates again, but really highlighting they do have more firepower if needed. But again, it's going to be very much corona virus related, I think. And this is one of the things that we're going to have to look at, especially as we start heading towards the winter months, where there's a bit of uncertainty of how the virus is going to react in these colder conditions that we're going to have. Is there going to be this big second wave? So yeah, I think there is some risk to the downside, definitely going forward. But as been the case, I've mentioned most of these podcasts, the dollar is still the main driver at the moment. And, with more Fed speakers to come next week, I think the market's going to pay close attention to what other people are saying in the Fed, and whether we are going to see this more dollar selling in the months to come.
Thanks, Chris. Thanks everyone for joining and listening in. I think it's pretty clear that as we come into September with further central banker comment and speaking alongside the Telegraph Brexit negotiations, it's going to start to really come to life. And then, as Chris mentions there, with what any sort of COVID second wave may bring, I think for currency markets, it's going to be a very, very volatile end to the year. So thank you for joining once again. And as always, if you have any questions or any thoughts or anything you need help with, please don't hesitate to reach out to the desk.